Our Bible reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, reading verses 26 to 39. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. And the heading, Jesus Restores a Demon-Possessed Man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That's a bold song, isn't it, that we've just sung together, "I Will Follow You." And just singing those few lines then, just made me want to pause and say thank you to all of you who particularly encouraged me to follow God when I was discerning his call upon my life to be a student minister here, and the continuing journey that I've had with many of you. Steve and I are deeply grateful, and we want to say thank you. Some of you may know Viv Lee visited us about 18 months ago, and I remember when Viv came into the home in Germiston in South Africa, and she said, "I've got some goodies for you." And when you live overseas, it's always exciting to hear those words, "I've got some goodies for you." And obviously I was hoping for Cadbury's chocolate, which did appear. But the most thing that I was grateful for wasn't even the chocolate. It was the letters that some of you wrote to Steve and I. Kind of words is my love language. And those letters meant such a huge amount at the time. So we want to say thank you for those and for your prayers and the generous gift of a cheque. So we want to take a moment just to say thank you. We were very grateful and remain grateful. Let's pause and pray. Gracious God, as we reflect on your word now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. So friends, our Bible reading this morning gives us an invitation, and in a spirit of generosity, I want to offer you an immediate invitation. The invitation is to move from fear to freedom. An invitation to move from fear to freedom. Now you might say, but Jane, I don't have any fears. I'm not afraid of anything. And yet if we were to dig deeper and have a conversation, I suspect that we might find something you and I are fearful of. Shall we test this theory for a moment? Raise your hand if you would be fearful of doing a bungee jump. Yeah. Raise your hand if you would be fearful of speaking to 1,000 people for 1 hour. Okay. Raise your hand if you would be fearful about going to the dentist.
No.
What, no? Because you've got no teeth. No. Raise your hand if you would be fearful about sitting an exam paper on physics. Raise your hand if you would be fearful about having that difficult conversation with a family member that you've been avoiding. Raise your hand if you fear change. You get the idea. And we haven't even scratched the surface. Fear is real. And I wonder if God's invitation today is one of encouraging us to move from fear to freedom. In the story of the demoniac, fear is very real. And I think at the heart of this story is a real fear of the power of Jesus and the cost of following Jesus. I may be wrong, but that's my hunch. You see, the story that we heard earlier is of a man who is living outside the boundaries of human society. Society has tried to chain him, literally. Chains and shackles have been unsuccessful. So he returns to the world beyond the boundaries of civilization. He lives naked among the dead. In the conversation that follows, the man is then asked his name and replies with Legion. It's an appropriate name because to the residents of the Roman Empire, the Roman Legion symbolised the occupying forces whose power was overwhelming. And in a Roman legion, I believe there were about 6,000 soldiers. What better name then for someone, the demons who were causing havoc on a man's life, than the image of 6,000 soldiers pressing in on him? And so these demons try to negotiate with Jesus. They beg Jesus to let the demons enter into a herd of pigs. Remember that Jewish hearers at the time would recognise the pigs as unclean. Yet in this context, pigs also represent part of the economy. There's no mention of that. We don't hear the moral impact of these demons going into a herd of pigs. Instead, the focus is on this one particular man who was naked, who was outside of society, and who finds healing and comes to a place where he is eventually clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. You can't make this story up. It's an incredible story. Within a few sentences, this man found healing and to be in his right mind because of an encounter with Jesus. But it gets even more interesting than this, and I've wondered so much the more I've read this particular story. Why is it that those who witnessed this story were fearful? It tells us that, doesn't it? Surely this story should evoke a response similar to something like the prodigal son. This man had been tormented for so long. Efforts had been made to control him, and now he's no threat whatsoever. Would not joy be the more appropriate response? There's good news, an opportunity to celebrate and welcome. This one man has returned from a place of physical and mental exile. And what do the community do? They are fearful. They are afraid. Those who were told him, in fact, we heard how the one who was possessed with demons had been healed. Then all the people surrounding in the country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, and they were seized with great fear. At the basis, of course, of this fear is not known. We don't really know what was going on, but what we do know is that fear was in the air. Fear was very real. So much so that they said, "Hey, Jesus, we want you to leave us." We expressed our fears earlier, didn't we, in some way in the prayers that Nikki led us in, when I asked you a few light-hearted questions, what might our fears be? And I just wonder if this is a story that we can relate to. Are there times in our lives when we too are fearful? Is our following of Jesus one that will go so far and no further? It's been suggested time and again that one of the reasons for a lack of spiritual growth boils down to fear. That fear is certainly a theme, isn't it, that we see in Scripture. Remember Mary when she was invited to be the mother of Jesus. She is greeted with an angel and the words, "Do not be afraid, Mary." I love her story. I think it's one of the most inspirational responses that we see in Scripture. I feel like the whole world waited with bated breath for Mary to say, "Yes, here I am, the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word." She was fearful, but she said, "Yes, here I am." I remember Moses when he was called to return to Egypt to face Pharaoh. His response, "O Lord, please send someone else." I love it, seeing your kind of vision statement on the wall here. It's on your website. We sang a song, "I Will Follow Jesus." Do we ever think sometimes that that's for the person sat next to us? It's okay for them, but what about me? How am I following Jesus? Moses responded boldly and he went. And as we think about Moses, let's never forget the Hebrew midwives. Shifra and Pua. Pharaoh called these two midwives and commanded them to kill every baby boy that was born. But these midwives feared God and they did not obey. It was their bravery that made the birth of Moses possible. So it seems to me that fear might be part of what it means to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. So if we are fearful or if we are afraid, then we're in really good company. Fear is real in our world. We experience fear many times when we lived in South Africa, not only for ourselves, but the community we served. When we arrived in the country just over 5 years ago, there was a huge attack of xenophobia. It means fear of the other, fear of the stranger, or Afrophobia, as it was often referred to in South Africa. One of our first encounters was in the middle of Germiston, where we lived, and we witnessed hundreds of people being bussed out of the community to makeshift camps, because their homes were being attacked. Our own congregation members, many from Zimbabwe, constantly lived in fear and still do today. Some of them don't speak in public places because they think their accent will be recognised and they will know that they're not from South Africa. When I asked one congregation member how she was doing, she said, "Jane, I always sleep with one eye open. I always sleep with one eye open." The crime levels in South Africa are also something to be feared. When we arrived, in our first 2 weeks, we had 6 attempts of burglary to our home. If Steve was away, I always had a babysitter. At the side of my bed, I had a holding cross, a list of emergency numbers, my mobile phone and a police radio. On average, 56 people are murdered every day in South Africa. There are over 40,000 rapes a year, averaging 110 people are raped every day. And those are the ones that get reported. The average car hijackings is 45 per day. Abuse is common. And one woman I regularly met with, who was part of our church leadership team, she told me just before I left that her husband was following her on the car tracker system. The trackers on the cars are for security purposes. But he turned it into questioning her every move so that the husband could control his wife. We had an interesting experience when we moved there. When we opened a bank account, the bank account would go in Steve's name because he's a man and it was a very patriarchal culture. So every time I went shopping, Steve would get a text message. So he would know exactly how much I'd spent. It's not good, is it? Doesn't bode well for a happy marriage. And, the first few months was difficult. But then I had to go on a mental shift in my head. And it became part of the security. So I became more relaxed. Because if anything happened to me, Steve would know which was the last shop I was in. The fear is out there, and the fears are real in this country, albeit different. We fear our political situation. We fear that our children are becoming addicted to gadgets and technology. We fear our children are open to cyberbullying. We fear for our climate. Nearly all of us still fear the C word because someone we know has been affected by cancer. And on it goes. This is the world that you and I inhabit. The place where we seek to be faithful in following Jesus. How do we move, I wonder, from fear to freedom? Because I think it's something that we can do. And I believe for this to happen, it will take courage. It will take vulnerability. And it will take a naming of our fears. In the words of Brené Brown, who has written a lot about courage and vulnerability, she suggests that it's not fear that prevents us from showing up in the world, it's the armour that we protect ourselves with. It's not fear that prevents us from showing up in the world, it's the armour that we protect ourselves with. Notice what happened in the story of the demoniac when the armour was dropped. This courageous man stepped forward in vulnerability, and when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus?" Wow, can you imagine all of us getting down on our knees in vulnerability and courage with one another and saying, "What have you to do with me, Jesus?" It's pretty real, isn't it? It took courage, it took vulnerability. And the more I pondered this, I couldn't help but ask, what does this look like in our churches today? The fearful community in this story did not really face their fears. They just said, "Jesus, we want you to leave." You know that feeling? You kind of get so far, but do you want to go any further? Do we want to name our fears or say, Jesus, please leave the building? Where, I don't mean that, by the way, I'm just rhetorically. Where is the space to name our fears? One of the best questions I think we can ever ask each other as we seek to follow Jesus is to turn to the person next to you and say, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? It's a question I've been asked on a few occasions, and when I'm asked the question, each time something opens up, not only for me, but for others. There is always greater freedom when we name our fears. And you probably know this, one of the successes of the Alcoholics Anonymous is they speak honestly. They name their fears. Step one, what do they do when they gather? We admit that we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. I love their approach. It's brutal, isn't it? And it's honest. Our lives have become unmanageable. What are our fears, I wonder? When Steve and I were preparing to leave South Africa, this happens when you move. Many people say to you, I bet you're really excited about the next move and the next part of the journey. And I remember one day when somebody said that to me, and it was the day when we had just sold our family property here in the UK, my parents' home. We'd sold it following the death of both of my parents in the last few years. And I remember hearing those comments thinking, am I really excited with so many unknowns about where is home? What does it mean to belong? Which community will I be part of and ministry? Had I been asked what are my fears, the response may have been totally different. Like you, I live with fears. We all do, and they are real. And when things are named, we're able to move into freedom. And that's my real prayer today, that we, with God's help and God's invitation, move from a place of fear to freedom. It will take courage. It will take vulnerability. And it might even mean that we have to find people and give them permission to ask questions in our lives, like, what are you afraid of? I wonder if anybody's been asked that question. Do we ask this regularly of one another? Judging by the lack of body language, maybe we don't. It's a great question to ask. It will enable us often to move from fear to freedom. I want to end with two things, well, three things. We're going to pray at the end. I want to offer a story, and I want to offer a song. The story is about Steve, who sat here, my husband. Obviously, I know that he's here, and maybe I'm a bit biased towards him. But whilst we were in South Africa, Steve became my colleague as well, which was also an interesting journey. That needs a week of reflection. But I saw something in Steve that I never saw in the UK, and I saw a willingness in Steve to be vulnerable, to face his fears. Before we left the UK, we didn't speak any other language. I speak Yorkshire, by the way, if you're wondering. And in South Africa, there are 11 official languages. There are lots more, but 11 official languages. And we were in a congregation of Zimbabwean members, which was the Shona language. So there were 12 languages. And on most Sundays in worship, we would flit three or four languages. And you know that moment when you see a child who's standing at the front and they read a Bible reading for the first time? You will have seen it, your own children or your grandchildren, and you're nervous for them. and they start speaking, and every bone in your body is willing that child to do well. You know that feeling, don't you? And I remember Steve reading his first Bible reading in a different language, and he was just stood there like, you know, this little boy trying literally to speak. And this was what happened over time. Steve became more confident. He would walk around the home practicing in different languages. And then over time, the Shona speaking members from Zimbabwe would start greeting our South Africans in their language. It would start with, "Hello, how are you? How's the weather? How's your day been?" Because everybody talks about the weather, even in other parts of the world. And then over time, people started singing in different languages. And when it was our leaving service, it was absolute joy to see other people be spontaneous and greet and sing and dance and worship across the cultures. I don't share that story just because it's about Steve to make him look good. I share it because this is a story of someone who was willing to be vulnerable, to face his fears that enabled others to move into freedom. And this is what happens. So when you and I take a step of faith, other people around it and say, "Wow, if this person can do it, so can I. Why not give it a go?" It motivates and inspires us to step out in faith. This is what it means to follow Jesus, from fear to freedom. It's about being vulnerable. It's about being courageous. And I want to leave you with a song that may or may not inspire you to be courageous. I'm aware that music can be subjective. Many people have playlists on their phones. And sometimes when I'm coaching people, one of the practices I give to clients is to encourage them to build their own playlist of songs that will enable them to be courageous. Do you have such a playlist, anybody? Maybe, or some people have songs that make them cry, don't they? Literally, because they need to feel the emotion. And that's okay too. So this is from my playlist, this song. It's one of my favourites. I'm a fan of Disney theology. So we're going to hear this song from Moana, Disney's song. It's called "How Far I'll Go." And I offer it as a song to encourage you to ponder, how far will you go as you move from fear to freedom? Thanks, Colin. I wonder if it wants to make you just get in a boat and go and cross the line and move from fear to freedom. We're going to close with a prayer. The words will appear on the screen, and I invite us, if we're able to make our response with these words. You've also got these as a handout. I was wanting to leave this as a handout rather than just words on the screen, so that you might be able to take this away and ponder as you continue to reflect. The prayer is called "Disturb Us, Lord." And with all prayers, prayer is a big thing. And we pray the words, if we're able to, as we respond. So we'll say them together as we begin. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dream too little, when we arrive safely because we sail too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of the land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push back the future in strength, courage, and love. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.